Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
All right. Hey, everyone.
Hey, hey, what's up?
Oh, man.
Hey, everybody.
It's time to thank me. Hey, Miss Tony.
What's good,
hey,
Tony?
It's Mimi. Hey, Bebo. I see you've been busy this weekend.
Yes. See, I can't even play with Tony the way I want to now because we done met. I've been feeling like she's a stern aunt. Like, y'all. And yeah, I know you.
What?
Watch your ass
throw up. We can still say, Bebo. I'm not a stern. I'm cool.
Nah, you is definitely cool, yo. You the realest. I'm not taking nothing away. Like you, I mean, you just. I hold you in high regard. I got the utmost respect for you. Like, you know, what I mean, you was out there. You stood out there with us. Like, come on, man. That's real. Like, you ain't just come through like, hey, what's up, Omar? You stood out there with us. Like, when we was breaking down, you was just leaving. Like, you left when we left. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. That's real, man. You know?
We team players. Right, Nene?
All day. That's how we do it. That's, you know, that's how you get from one point to the next point. Yep. But it's going good. I'm happy to be out here on this special Sunday evening show. We are on season break for our Author Wives show. So if you did tune in tonight and you're like, where's the Author Wives? And they're not here today because we are on season break, but we are taking audition submissions for season 2, which will jump off on July 13th. So hit us up on Writing Royalty.
Yeah, we've already got one fireball of a contender.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's the minute. Okay,
mm-hmm.
See, you got some other things I didn't even know about with this. That worked.
Yeah, I
didn't
tell you about this one. I didn't get to tell you about
this. Yeah, but we already got a fireball we about to add to the cast. This is about to be ridiculous. Like, we just trying to work, man, and build positivity and, you know, let's keep it moving, man, for the sake of literature and you know, the people that love it and the people that want it.
Yeah, yeah, and we got so many wonderful things coming up. We got this Bahamas trip coming up. We'll be giving details out about that really soon. We are also going to go ahead on, Aaron, might as well just make our announcement because the flyer should be going up tomorrow. We're getting on the bus. Getting on the bus with Aaron Bebo, Nene Capri, and Jason Poole. We are going to be taking some readers from North New Jersey to Atlantic City to the casinos. We're going to have free food and, you know, fun and raffles and giveaways and books and, you know, just have all the readers hang out with us for the day. You got the boardwalk, the amusement park. We're just going to have a ball. So that is coming up. That's going to happen in July. But we will be posting how you can get your tickets, and a few lucky readers will win a seat on us, on the authors. We have a few seats we'll be giving away. So definitely stay posted for those announcements because it's going down. Let's see, what else do we have coming down the pipe, Aaron? What else we got?
I got some new material coming down the pipe soon. I know you do too.
Oh man, I can't wait to get P-Trap 4 out there and Tainted too. I'm excited. And it's going to be a hot, hot summer, but it's going to be even hotter winter because we're not going to stop. Like, everything we're doing is going to ride into the winter. We got something huge planned after the first of the year. I can't wait. So we're planning stuff for the readers.
Yes, everything's about the readers. We just trying to focus on literature and the readers and what it's all about. Like we don't want no beef with nobody. We don't want no drama. We don't want none of that. All we want to do is make the readers happy, so the readers could make us happy and feel good about our craft and what we do, and we could be one happy community.
One happy reading community, right? Yeah.
For real.
But other than that, everything else is good. Tonight we're going to have a phenomenal show with best-selling author Keisha Green. Excuse me, Irvin. Keisha Irvin, pardon me. You know, YouTube sensation. She has The Closing Line. She has a movie coming out. We're going to talk about all of that with her, let her bring us up to speed on her current work, her past work, and, you know, just let the readers know who she is. I think most of them know her for being on YouTube and giving her a soliloquy of different shows and books and things that she reviews, and her opinion is very, very strong. I watched it. I laughed. I had a good time. So I always enjoy her clips. That's probably how most of the readers know her, the newer readers, but she has been in the game for a minute and dropping a lot of hot titles, and she's going to let us know about those works as well. But we have our topic, and I got to definitely hear what Miss Tony has to think about this. Tonight's topic is love and war. Love and war. What do you think about that, Miss Tony? Love and war.
You know, Nene, they kind of go hand in hand sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still kind of grappling with it. I'm really interested to hear Ms. Keisha's view on it, but love and war, there's a thin line like between love and hate, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can just be so in love with someone, but then you hate that you feel like you're just so dependent on that person. There's so many angles that you can't get, you know, you love them, but you hate yourself because you're so dependent on them and you're so focused on him that you can't even focus on you and yours, you know?
Yeah. And so a lot of people actually go to war with them, with their own selves, with their own morals and with their standards to accept people in their life or to, you know, be with people. They'll go at war with their family and their friends to have that person in their life and around them. So, you know, sometimes it's an internal conflict. Sometimes it's conflict, you know, from outside of yourself, you know, different people. But some people will spend a whole relationship volatile, you know, with love and war. Like,
that's
it wouldn't work right if it didn't have both elements. Like, it's okay for a week that we, you know, hug, kiss, kiss. But after that, we're going to have to do 16 rounds of boxing for another week. Then we'll be right back to where we started from. And some relationships work like that for years. That's just the way they function with that love and war, I love you, I hate you type mentality going on in the relationship. How you feel about it, Aaron?
I feel like it's always going to exist. Like, because it's a person could be balanced with they self, but once you enter into a commitment or something with someone else, then, you know what I mean, that kind of, it has to throw you off balance because, like, you committing yourself to them and the things that they about as well, once you make that commitment, so even the things that they do that you may not like, you have to learn to have some type of tolerance or acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
So it throws you off balance, you know what I mean? So I think it's always going to exist. You know,
okay.
Like the person will see something and be like, yo, I don't like when she be doing that, or I don't like when he be doing that, and it burns them up, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But
they
in this commitment, and the commitment be a little bit larger than, you know what I mean, what they don't like. So, you know what I mean, it's love and war. That's love and war right there. Like, it's always going to exist. Because no matter, even if you're dealing with somebody that's thrown, that's off balance already. Like, they don't even know who they are yet. and then they decide to go out there and enter into a committed relationship with someone else, and they don't even know who they are, yeah, it's over, man. It's going to be set for disaster. You're talking about World War V. We're skipping right over three. We're skipping right over three and four. We're going to skip over three and four. We're going right to World War V with that one, because a person that's already dysfunctional being placed in a situation that hasn't found function yet can only lead to disaster. That's just obvious thought. Like, it's over with.
I hear what you're saying, people, and as far as, like, acceptance and tolerance, I think that sometimes when it's one-sided, you're more at war with yourself because you may feel that you just all you do is just take, you know, and it's not reciprocated as far as the love part. So you can come to resent that, and that's also where the war plays a part in it.
Yeah, definitely. Like, the war could be internal. I'm not saying that you're declaring war on your partner. I'm just saying that war is definitely going to be declared. Mm-hmm. The war could be internal. That's why it's like you could just see it and just be like, yo, I'm not even going to say nothing. Like, knowing, grudgingly, like, yo, like,
not
you know
even
what I mean? Like,
right?
Yeah, like, yo, I'm not even going to say nothing because me saying something is going to lead to another place I don't even want to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because, see, and when I say that, because when I'm saying you're dealing with someone like that, then when you say something to them, they're going to immediately go on the defense. That's going to be their immediate response. And it may be done, like, subconsciously. And when I say that, like, they may go on the defensive, not even trying to defend themselves, but just by the same principle of the thing that they did that ticked you off. It's just habit.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Because whatever they doing that ticked you off, they're comfortable with. You're not comfortable with it. So when you say something, they're gonna go into a defense, and not even a defense to knock down so much what you're saying, but just in a defense of their self, because for them it may feel like an attack.
Huh.
Because if they're comfortable doing it, especially if they was doing it before you, you know what I mean? Like, they've been living like this day for day, daily, then to them it's going to feel like an attack. Even though you may have told them over and over, because, like, y'all may have gotten to that point where you discussed it, and they know how you feel and what your position is on it. But if it's a habit or something that's just embedded in them, the minute you say something, it's going to take you down another road. So you'll just be sitting there judging, like, when should you say something or when not. And that's where the resentment comes in, the self-war starts, because now you're not saying nothing. So you're warring within yourself.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you're like, damn,
think that's where most of it is. It's an internal struggle. You know what I'm saying? I think most of it is an internal struggle. It really has nothing to do with the other person, because even with you being unhappy, you mostly unhappy, like you said, with yourself, with the choice you made or decision you made to either stay or whatever, even though, you know, if there are things that you personally don't like about the person, or, you know, you're trying to get away from them, but you stay. You convince yourself to stay, and you stay in that type of situation. And it's you. It's really not them. It's really you, because nobody can really do anything to you unless you let them. That's just my opinion.
That's true. And then
go ahead, Tony.
When you hold so much resentment in, and you just continue to hold everything in, you just come to a boiling point and you just explode. And that's also where the war comes in. You know, because I just can't take it anymore. I just gotta release, you know, and you just like pow.
It looks like you coming out of left field. Because you've been so suppressive for so long. You know what I mean?
Right.
So to them, they're like, yo, what? Like, what? Why the hell are you going off about this little shit?
Exactly.
Like, a little jelly just fell on the carpet. I got it. Like, yeah, but you've been dropping jelly on the carpet for the last 2 years. The rest of the carpet looks like a goddamn mat. I'm standing in here like I'm in the UN. I'm standing on the UN floor. Look, Africa's over there. There's jelly stains. Are you killing me?
I'm not going
nah, nah, for real, like.
That little
nah,
finger
just
set you off.
Yeah,
yeah, sometimes
it'll look
like
you.
That.
It'll look like you coming right out of left field, like yo. Like Pedro smacks one out left. You know what I mean? Like, it'll be like yo, oh man, yo, like yo, you off your meds? Like, what the hell is wrong with you?
And it ain't even like that. The whole situation.
Yeah, and it ain't even. Yeah.
You've been ignoring it. You've been living with it and ignoring it. You know what I'm saying? Trying to hope it'll go away. Trying to wish it away. You know, you've been
Lord
at war
mother.
With it, dropping little hints, dropping big hints. You know, arguments
mm-hmm.
pursue. Nobody really get to the bottom of it. And after a while, you just stop saying anything. And I think
mm-hmm.
that's another thing that people do. They go at war with their silence. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll say something so many times, and then they feel like, okay, this is a never-winning battle. Forget it. I'm just
mm-hmm.
not going to say nothing
yeah.
about it. And just tuck it away, and stuff keep happening, and you keep building a little hatred, building a little hatred, building a little fire, keep kindling it, and then you get, you know, a rancor in your heart, you know what I'm saying, like that, a hole in your heart for that person. So now, you know, you at war with them, and it's a silent war, because you're not saying anything, so it's not like you're communicating. You done gave up on that, but you're not happy. You know, you're going to live an unhappy life, an unsettled life, because you're going to choose to sweep something that's very important underneath the carpet, you know, for sake of just being able to say, I'm with somebody, or I'm still with somebody, or carry a title, or whatever so the case shall and may be. You know what I'm saying? It just, it goes on for years with some people. They can't even, you know, let it go or grow
uh-huh.
past it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I can't wait to see what they're going to say tonight, the callers, if they're going to be calling in, what they're going to have to say about, you know, that love and that war. What should be stronger? You know, should you just go ahead on and succumb, you know, to those, you know, those internal wars and be like, look, I'm just going to leave this one alone? Or should the love, you know, overshadow that feeling, that conflict and feeling? You know, should love be able to substitute, you know, that feeling? But go ahead and play us some Love and War, and then we'll bring Miss Keisha Irvin in here as soon as she pops in the studio. We'll bring her on the line. But go ahead and drop that beat for me, Erin.
Somebody said every day was gonna be sunny skies. Only Marvin Gaye and lingerie. I guess somebody lied. God, it's just stepping into fighting. Then don't touch me, please. Then it lit up the madness. Just come link with me. Truth be told, I'm waving my flag. Only go fast, yeah. We're gonna survive. We stay on the fire.
All right. Yes, we are live, and we are about to go in here in the clubhouse. I'm excited to continue this conversation, this topic. I believe Keisha was just in the clubhouse. She stepped out. She'll be right back in. She had to go into hair and makeup briefly. So as soon as she comes out of hair and makeup, we're going to bring her on in the clubhouse and see where we can go from here with this subject. A lot of people, I believe, battle with this daily, that love and war concept. And I'm interested to see what Keisha has to say about it, because, you know, when she does her videos and stuff, she goes in. She don't give no breaks. You know, she is very candid about how she discusses the different topics. But I believe I see that she just came out of hair and makeup. Erin, if you could catch her and bring her on in the clubhouse.
I've got her already. She is live. Like, come on. I'll be watching everything that's going on. How you doing, Keisha? Welcome to the Writing
Hello,
Royalty Clubhouse. Yes, you are live with Nene Capri, Leisha, and Miss Tony, and I'm Erin Bebo. We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
Great. How are you today?
Well, well.
We can't hear her now. We can't hear her now. She
Hello.
Might be
can
having.
Hear?
Yep, we can hear you now.
Okay, how are you all doing today?
Oh, just trying to maintain, trying to catch up with you, see what you're going to have, you know, very interesting to bring to the readers, you know, your new projects. We know you have a film coming. We have a hot topic that we're going to talk about this evening. If you could just real quick bring the readers up to speed on your current projects and what you have coming their way.
Well, last week I just dropped the long-awaited Material Girl 3, Secrets and Betrayals. It was the final part to my Material Girl series. And then this past Tuesday, Al just released Autumn Story, which I'm a part of, their Circle series. So that was just released. And coming up, I have a spinoff to my Material Girl series, which is called Cashmere Mafia. And that will
okay.
be coming out within the next month. And in August, Reckless 2 will be dropping as well.
Okay. So you got a
okay.
full menu coming this way.
Yeah.
It's going to get hot. So talk to us a bit about the film thing you have going on.
Last month, I dropped my first film. It's called Forever 21. And it's basically a show that is based upon my life. You can watch it on my YouTube channel. It's, my YouTube channel is called Color Me Pink. That's P-Y-N-K. And the rest of the web series will be finishing out. We'll be finishing out the last 5 episodes of the web series this fall. So, but people can watch the first 5 episodes that we just put together in one full movie right now on my YouTube channel.
Okay, that's great. That's awesome. YouTube has really been gracious to you in views and people following you, and that's awesome, you know, to have that type of platform where people can see you and they can hear you and be able to get to know, you know, the author behind the pen. And you go over some very controversial topics. What started you with doing the YouTube series?
What started it was when I first got on YouTube a year ago, I first started off doing makeup tutorials, and I was sick at the time, and so I was always in the house, so I told my boyfriend at the time I wanted to start doing makeup tutorials, and he was like, okay, well, you're not doing pretty much anything else right about now, so let's get up and do it. So he bought me my camera, and I started doing makeup tutorials, and then I can't remember what it was. I don't know if my first all tea, all shade was on the Real Housewives series or a Tyler Perry movie that I had just seen last year, but it was one of the two. But I just wanted to get on YouTube and just talk about things that interested me, things that bothered me or whatever. So I started my all tea, all shade series, and it just took off and it exploded, and it was just something that was so unexpected.
Right. It is definitely awesome. It's refreshing. I know I've sat down and watched a few of them and just laughed so hard because you just went in. you know, on a different subject. I was like, wow. So that's good, and it's brilliant. And, you know, being an author and being in this craft, you always have to be coming up with something that's innovative and, you know, to stay relevant, to, you know, to keep the readers going. You know, whatever that shall be, shall it may be, you have to find your niche and, you know, engage in it. So, yeah, that was really good and refreshing. Let's see, what else do we have? Aaron, you have something? I'm over here taking up all the good time.
No, I just, I think you, why don't you give the people, the current listeners, some of the readers that's out there that's listening who don't know who you are. I mean, you definitely got your thing going on, but, you know, like, give them your roots, where you come from, how you stepped in the game. And I just want to say I admire your ambition because I'll be seeing you constantly on the move, like you never stop.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, for people that don't know me, I started off, like I said, writing books. I started in 2004, and my first novel was titled Me and My Boyfriend. I did a 5-book deal with Triple Crown Publications. The most book deals, I think I had the only person that did so many books with her. But I had the Me and My Boyfriend, Hold You Down, China Black, Nina's Joint, and Torn with Triple Crown Publications. I then left there and I went on to Urban Books, and I've done Guns N' Roses, Material Girl 1 and 2, and Reckless 2 with Urban Books. And now I'm currently, at this point, doing the self-publishing thing. I'm doing starting my own publishing company, Colony Pink Publications, and I'm just going for there from there.
Okay, all right, and that's a good thing. You know, to continue to have your career going forward like that is totally, totally awesome. And, you know, we commend you, and, you know, we pray that you continue to push forward. I know you say you have fell ill a little bit. Did your illness have you homebound, or what was going on at that point in your career?
For 6 months, I was pretty much in the house. The only time I left my home was to go to the doctor. I just one day woke up in November. It was November 17th of 2012. I woke up and I thought that I was just about to, excuse my language, about to come on my, you know, period, but I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I thought I was having menstrual cramps that day, and it was a friend's birthday that day, and so we were having a girl's day, and the whole entire day I just felt like I was having menstrual cramps on my left side. But as the day progressed, the pain just continued on, and it just got worse and worse and worse. I was sweating. I was dizzy. So it took me until the next morning to finally get up and go to the emergency room. They ran all these tests. I had to have an X-ray done, CAT scan done, and after they did all the tests, they found out that I had perforated my colon. So
wow.
They had to perform emergency surgery on me, and they had to split me open and cut out part of my intestine, the part that had perforated. And when I woke up in the ICU, my family and friends were too afraid to tell me that I had a colostomy bag. So I had, and then on top of that, the doctors told me that when they cut me open, they saw that my ovaries were enlarged. So I had to find out what was going on with my ovaries. My ovaries were like the size of a tennis ball, both of them. So long story short, I had to have a colostomy bag for 6 months. I was in and out of the doctor. I had to get tested to make sure I didn't have colon cancer. Come to find out I had dermoid cysts in my ovaries. When they did my reversal surgery, I had to have my ovaries and my fallopian tubes removed. They couldn't salvage them. And they reversed the colostomy, thank God. And after that, I had to have another surgery this year in March because I developed 3 hernias in my stomach, so I had to get cut open again. So after that surgery, I'm hoping, praying to God, I don't have to have anything else done to me.
Yes, I know, right? You said one thing after the next, but, you know, your spirit and your zeal, you know, for life and to continue on, you know, is a testament and a good example, you know, to anyone. Because whenever, you know, we see you, it's like you would never be able to tell that you was walking that journey, you know. And I'm quite sure it's some other authors and listeners that, you know, are going through things that might not be as serious. They can listen and say, well, damn, let me continue on. You know what I'm saying? If she going to continue, you know, through all of that. And that's a blessing. You know, we pray for you. And your strength. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing that with us. We appreciate that. so much. Are you ever planning on doing something that's like a memoir series or something that's outside of the genre that you write in to inspire?
Actually, my second novel, China Black, is about my life. China Black is me. For anybody that has read that novel, that was my story of how I went from being a 15-year-old girl that was kind of a little bit confused trying to figure out my way to when I was 22 and I got my first publishing deal. So I really showed my journey through that book. With Material Girl 3, my readers got to see somewhat of what I went through. I don't really want to give it away for people that haven't read it, but they'll understand it when they read Dylan's story. They'll get to see some of the things that I've gone through over the last year and a half while I was gone, because during that time where I was healing and going through all these surgeries, I didn't release a book. I've been gone literally a year and a half. So that's why I'm blessing the readers with 4 books this year, to make up for all the time that I was gone. That was the most time I've taken off in my 11-year career to this date.
Okay. Well, at least they're gonna be ready, and I think they're gonna, you know, feel it. You know what I'm saying? I believe that your experience is gonna do something totally different with your pen. And I'm looking forward to some of the work. Miss Tony, did you have anything for Keisha?
I did. Hi, Keisha. This is Tony, and welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you so much. Hi, how are you?
I am doing well. I was actually looking at some of your Forever 21 video before the show, and like Denny said, it makes you laugh, makes you think, and it was really good. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But I have a question. I said, you seem to wear many hats. You're author, you're becoming self-published, or you have your Forever 21 series going. How do you balance it all? How do you keep it all together?
Lord Jesus, the strength of Blue Ivy Carter. No. I can't even answer that. I just do everything. I don't even really know an answer to it. I just get up and do everything. Like, literally, I worked on Forever 21, and then during that time, I was working on all these different books at the same time. Right now, I'm working on Cashmere Mafia. We're planning for the next 5 episodes of Forever 21. I'm writing that, getting the cast and stuff back together. I also have my clothing line, Pretty Ratchet Things, with my 2 best friends. We're working on the fall line of that. So, I mean, I just do it. And then on top of that, I have my 14-year-old son, so I just get up and do everything. It's really not that hard. Sometimes it gets stressful, but I just do it.
Right. Yeah, you do what you got to do when you got to do it, too.
Yeah, and then what makes it so easy is because I enjoy doing exactly what I'm doing. I'm right about now, I'm having the most fun that I've had in my life, because I'm doing the stuff that I genuinely love doing. And just to see people's reaction and the response to it has just been great to everything that I've been able to put out there. So I think that in order for you to do a lot of stuff, you have to enjoy what you're doing, and then it won't too much seem like it's work.
Right. I agree. I definitely agree with that. And it's good to see that you continue on. Aaron, did you have something?
Yeah, I just want to know, how was it doing the movie? Like, how was the filming process? Like, if you were, I'm sure you had your own crew and everything, but if you was, like, almost out of commission or not able to really move around, how did that go? What was that process
actually
like?
What's funny is when I filmed Forever 21, it was literally 2 weeks after my last surgery. So what you don't even see is on the opening scene when I'm laying in the bed and I have the sweatshirt on, I'm going to the bathroom, like that whole first 2 episodes, I had staples in my stomach. going down the front of my stomach. I had literally just had surgery 2 weeks prior and had a bandage around my waist and everything, but you couldn't even tell. But to be honest with you, it was so much fun doing it. And what people don't know, and I don't know if people know about Forever 21, is that the show is totally improv. There is no script. All we did, all I did was give people a plot line of what was going to happen, and we did everything off the top of our head. Nothing was planned except for the music. So,
yo,
like, we had a ball filming. Huh?
I believe you, because you come off natural. You, especially when you were having your little homegirl on the videos, Like, you could tell, like, that's y'all really people's, like, that's your friend and all that. Like, I could see that when you could do that. Like, if you have a group of friends like her, where you'd be like, come on, y'all know how we do. We about to just start filming.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, because it'd be those times where you'd be saying that anyway, like, yo, we should have had this on film right now.
Exactly.
So I get you. Yeah, I believe you. Like, definitely, I'm definitely not thinking that you're sitting here trying to make yourself sound like you this creative artist. Like, I really believe that it could happen just like that, because you have that personality.
Yeah. That's the stuff.
It's true, because I can actually, now that you say that, Keisha, I love the scene where your friend went to dude's house and he put the hot Cheetos and the sunflower seeds. And I was sitting here cracking up, but that was actually all ad-lib. That was not scripted.
The only thing that was planned was I told the guy, my best friend, one of my best friends, Poncho Ruckel, who played the guy from the date from hell. I told him, I was like, I want you to create a thought meal for her. And so he did it. Like, he came over, he had the whole Tostino's pizza rolls and everything, like, and it was just funny. But like, what you didn't know was I was standing right on the other side of the camera dying laughing, like, we all were just cracking up because it was just so much fun filming it. But we had a ball, like, and I'm working with people that are my friends, and so it's not like work, and we're getting ready for the next 5 episodes, and we're coming back with a vengeance in October. Like, the first 5 episodes were good, but, like, we're really going to kill these people when we come back. Like, the next 5 episodes are going to be so good and funny.
That's going to be awesome. I can't wait. And since we got you here tonight and we got you all to ourselves, we're just going to run off some topics. We had love and war for this evening, but we want you to talk about how you feel about that, and then we're just going to run some topics, and we can all just go from there and see what Keisha has to say about that. So definitely,
sounds
how you
like
feel
fun.
About that concept with love and war? You know, they talk about, you know, love and war is a thin line. You could be at war with yourself. You could be at war with your mate. How do you feel about that and the current situation, like you see women in relationships and different things going on?
It's funny because me and one of my friends was having a conversation about love and relationships last night, and it's just funny. My main thing about love and relationships is that I just want more women to just respect themselves and just know that they are worthy of being truly valued and truly loved, and not to settle just for any old thing. I think a lot of women are struggling with it. I know that I have in the past struggled with just holding on to relationships just because of time or just because I love the person, but it's more to it than just love. You know, you have to really know if this person really loves and cherishes you and is really going to be there for you at the end of the day, because love comes and goes. Sometimes you might wake up and hate this motherfucker. I'm sorry, because I don't know if you curse on her, but you might wake up and not like this person. Every day is not going to be pretty. And so, like, with the situation that I went through when I did get sick, when I was still in my relationship, me and my boyfriend at the time, we were together for 5.5 years, and the last year of our relationship is me dealing with, you know, getting sick and finding out I couldn't have children, and, you know, he didn't have children. So that was a big thing between he and I. Okay, now I'm being told I can't have kids, so now what does that leave you and I, now that I can't give you this? Do we even continue on with this relationship because you don't have any children, and although you love my child, he's still not yours? So these are, like, real-life issues that people are faced with, and when you're faced with them, it really tests your relationship. So I think people really have to find that person that they are equally yoked with and that is from God, because I think a lot of people do the picking themselves and then wonder why it ain't working. And it's because this person wasn't meant for you. It wasn't of God. It was never ordained by him. You did this. So then you have to, you know, deal with the consequences of your decision.
Right. You got me with that one. That is the honest to God truth. And
yeah. And I hope that that's all non-gender based meat that you're serving up.
That goes for men too. Because I mean, let's keep it all the way 100. A lot of these dudes are picking wrong too. I mean, a lot of dudes are picking because she looks good. And she got a fat ass, and she got nice titties, and she got some long weave in her hair, and she's cute. But cute don't get you a clean house and a meal on your on a meal when you get off of work. And this is broad gonna pray for you and pray with you. Can she even pray at all? Because a lot of these chicks nowadays don't even know the word and don't even know how to get on her knees and praise God and pray for you when things get harder, when things get tougher, when you need that guidance. You need a woman that's in your life that's going to know how to speak that word over you. And a lot of these girls nowadays don't know that. All these girls nowadays know is the stripper bop song and how to go to the club. So, I mean, it goes both ways.
That's what I'm talking about. I like the deck you, for real, I like the deck you dealing from. As long as it's going both ways.
Yeah, all those cards was royal. Those was all royal cards right there, yes. That is the honest to God truth. I believe in that. So, and saying that, we'll just roll over to another controversial topic on this show. Are side chicks winning? Do you think that they're winning?
I say it all the time. Hoes is winning in 2014. That's just how I feel. A lot, and me and my guy friends have this conversation all the time, and they explain to me, like, why would I come and date a woman like you that demands so much of me when I can get Sharkeisha down the street that only asks for me to come through, hit up, smash, and I can be on my way. I don't have to take her out. I don't have to spend time with her. I don't have to do nothing like that. So it's about these girls nowadays, like I said, they don't value themselves, and they make it so easy that it's hard for women like me and my girlfriends to find the right guy because it's a lot of chicks out here that's making it so easy to just be. I mean, you don't really have to work at it anymore. So, yeah, bad chicks are winning.
So now what about the other side of the coin where you got the woman that Aaron always talks about, the professional woman who doesn't really care for, you know, all that extra stuff. She just want to be with somebody, preferably somebody else's man, so she don't have to worry about the commitment and things. What do you think about a woman like that?
I don't know any women like that.
See?
It's hard for me to speak on because a lot of my friends, including myself, are very hardworking women, and I just know for myself, I don't want to be anybody's side anything. I want to be the main person in their lives. But for those women that do just want to deal with somebody on their own terms and their own time, it's kind of a hard question to answer because I don't really know that. I don't know that breed of women, so I can't even answer that one. I'm stumped on that one.
See, that's good. Because, see, I saw NeNe trying to set up the platform right there. But, see, this is real life, though. This was real life. These were some women in Ebony magazine. There was a whole – Ebony did a whole spreadsheet article on this joint. All these women are like CEO, executives of companies, owning their own stuff. And they was very clear on the fact that they didn't want a man in their life. Some of them gave different – some reasons was like, you know, I'm too busy in my life to deal with any one main relationship. So if a man approaches me and he wants to get at me, and he has a woman, that's really, I don't really care. Like, I play the field like that. Men do it all the time. Some women was coming from that perspective. Some women were just outright like, yo, I only want to deal with another woman's husband so he can always go home to his wife. Like, and these were executives, so this is real. And side, now, let me ask you this, Keisha. With you saying that side chicks are winning, right, and you having the mind state that you want to be the main course, the main one, where does that leave you? Does that leave you
exactly
always?
Where I am right now, single.
I am not doing this with you.
Until side chicks start losing again?
No, until I find the person that wants me and only me. Because, like I said, I'm not willing to settle to be nobody's side anything. So until I meet that guy that's saying, hey, yo, I'm vibing with you, I'm kicking it with you, and you and you only, I ain't got no chick or whatever the case may be, then I will continue to be Keisha, single, raising my son, and working and doing what I got to do. Other than that, I ain't tripping off of it. Like, I don't even have the time or the energy to even entertain somebody that has somebody at home.
Well, let me ask you this, since this is another topic and it seems like it's leading this way. Do women need a man to define them?
hell to the no. I know not me.
Hmm.
I was always raised. My mother taught me from day one. If she didn't teach me anything else, and she really didn't teach me much about love relationships, my mother taught me to be self-sufficient and to depend on myself. And that's something that I've always done ever since I've become an adult. I depend on me and me only. I don't need a man to define who I am. If anything, they just add. I want somebody that's going to add to my life, and that's what any relationship that I've been in has done. They added or either took away from me. And I know in a relationship that I was in, he took away from me. He didn't add to me. So that's part of the reason why we're not together anymore, because I had to look at the situation for what it was, and I found myself being unhappy more than I was happy. And being in their relationship, he wasn't pushing me forward. Actually, he was bringing me down. So since their relationship has ended, like I said, I find myself being more happier than ever, because the things that I'm doing now, they wouldn't even be in fruition if I was still in that relationship. There would be no Forever 21. There would be no PRT. There would be none of this stuff that I'm doing, because I couldn't even focus on that when I was in the relationship that I was in, because I was too busy fighting and arguing with somebody over dumb stuff and not concentrating on the things and the goals that I had for myself.
Right, right. I can see how that can happen. In that feeling, like, do you think that women dumb themselves down, like dumb down your talents or dumb down your dreams or disregard your dreams, you know, to please a man or to keep him comfortable?
Yeah, because a lot of men, I'm not going to say a lot of men. I know some men, let me change that. The guys that I meet, when they find out what I do, when they find out that you can Google my name and there's pages and pages about Keisha Irvin, and they're like, oh, my God, she can read, first of all. She can write. She writes books. She got all these things going for herself. She makes X amount of money. Well, what do I have to offer her? Like, really, what do I have to offer her? And so a lot of men I know that I came across or date are intimidated by women like me and, like, my girlfriends and stuff like that. So it becomes a thing where they feel emasculated almost. And so, like, in my past relationship, like I can say, in relationships that I have had in the past, I found myself trying to dumb myself down to make him feel like he was more of a man than he actually was. Because when we took trips, I paid. You know what I'm saying? When we went out to expensive dinners, he couldn't afford that. I had to. When I'm going out on trips and, you know, doing this, this, and that, and he's sitting at home, it's just like, dang, like, she's moving. She making moves, like, and I'm just her. So I know a lot of girls, like I said, like, say, for instance, in Forever 21, I had to kiss a gentleman on screen. I wouldn't have been able to do that if I was in a relationship, because dudes would be like, you know what I'm saying, like, how you going to be on, you know, a camera kissing another man? Like, what my homeboy is going to think, what my partner is going to think? That's disrespectful, and it's only acting. But I know a lot of men are, you know, get jealous and are intimidated by other guys, and you must like him. You going to kiss him, you know, like stuff like that. So, yeah, I do think that women end up having to dumb themselves down and put their dreams on hold because of how what he's going to think of.
My girl could be a porn star. For real.
Aaron.
Because you know what, y'all going in on dudes a little bit too hard right now. Like dudes don't be facing the same things. Like, it'd be the same thing. You dealing from a rigged deck right now. Keisha done switched it up on me. She done.
No, I don't think that she switched it up, Aaron. Because I look at it like this. The man, he is expected to follow his dreams and his goals. That's an expectation even of his wife. To, you know, provide for this house, you know what I'm saying? So if he say, I want to start a store, you know what I'm saying? 9 times out of 10, if we have decided that we want to do something different and, you know, the man of the house comes in and say, well, baby, this is which way I think we should go. I think we should do X, Y, and Z. And it's usually we will support, you know, that, because that is what we're looking forward to support the family, to support the children. You know what I'm saying? We will put the goals and dreams on hold, even to have children. I'm like, that slows a baby slows me down 3 years, period. The first 3 years, I'm sitting down somewhere. So, you know, you have a whole different outlook. You know, when you have children and you have to uphold those other things, you will put your dreams on hold. And it's not like it's a male bash thing, but you know, your woman expects you to follow your dream.
No, but you You asked her. You said, do you think men make women fall back away from their dreams?
Mm-hmm.
And it's that and the third. So when she's answering it, it's from the perspective of what you asked it. Like, so
yeah.
Now it's, it is male bashing. Like, pick the,
no,
put the
no one's
male
bashing.
Man,
you know y'all are very fragile. Y'all are
ball.
Very fragile in your ego. And y'all know how y'all get when your woman starts to outshine y'all. So, yes, a lot of times we will dumb it on down so that y'all can be comfortable in your everyday tasks.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to tell you the truth. I want my woman to be outshining me because I'm such a person that I'm very impatient. So that means when I get it, I want everybody else to get it at the same time or already have it. Like, yo, what took you so long? So, I need somebody that's on point like that, that's definitely thinking like Flash, because I be on it. So, I'm not never looking for no woman to be playing the background like, yo, listen, when we get over here, you just chill because you know I'm the talk in the relationship. Hells no, she might have something to say that's going to change this whole situation.
In a lot of cases it's not. You know, you run into the rarity where you have, you know, a lot of men who have that type of mentality. Every man doesn't have that same mentality.
I agree with Nene. Bebo, you're a rare breed, you know, I must say. So 9 times out of 10, women do have to fall back some in order to not outshine their man. And I think it's just a natural thing for women.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say, Miss Tony. Though you are 100% right. It's just a natural. That comes from the training of servitude and bearing life and being a nurturer. That's just a natural thing for a woman. A woman takes care of a boy who eventually becomes a man. So, like, that's just the same. It's the same scenario. Now, when the mother could sit back proud. Or the woman could sit back proud, like, yo, I got a good man. Let me let him lead. They happy to look at their accomplishment. That's just nature. That's natural. You want your man to succeed, of course. So it's not that men be putting women in these circumstances. It's nature. Now, are there some men out there that will take advantage of that? Yes. Hmm. But it's the woman's nature. It's not man placing her in that category. That was something that was like we was talking about before. That's something that was placed there by God. That was already there. That was already instilled. Man ain't had nothing to do with that.
I disagree with you. I mean, the nurturing case of doing your innate duties, you know what I'm saying? You know, things that are just innate to a woman. I still don't think that it coincides with, you know, having that male ego and having those male expectations that, you know, are societal. You know what I'm saying? It's not just even in relationships. It's period. It's in the workforce. It's in a whole lot of other areas that make women subservient to men. So it's not just, you know, in the relationship. It's like a society norm, so to speak.
So how is man putting women in that position? If it's a norm, if it's normal for her to be that way, it's her
nature.
I didn't
say it's normal for her to be that way. I said it's normal for men to act that way. That's what I was saying. I didn't say it was normal for her to be that way.
All men don't act the same. We just established that a minute ago when y'all said I'm rare. So that'd be my whole theory on DNA.
Who else agree to that rare thing with you?
Nah, I'm just saying. No, I'm not. Just even
Did you hear that? Did you hear Aaron try to take the old rare card, Keisha?
Nah, listen. Even excluding that, that's the same. It's the same theory as DNA. Like if they be like, yo, it's a chance. It's only 1 in a billion chance that another person did this. Okay, so that means that there's a chance. There's still a chance. You trying to measure the numbers to make that shit seem far off, but there's still a chance. You know what I mean? So. That was your whole concept of comparing this to that. If there's a man, if I'm a man out there who says, nah, I want my woman to be right there on the forefront, right, standing right alongside me and be, you know, leading if she has to. And then when I need to take the reins, I'm right there. If I'm saying that, y'all like, yo, that's rare. then no, it's not rare. It's just that I'm that type of guy, and y'all need to run into another type of guy like me, because there's other people out there like me, not exactly like me, but who has the same way of thinking, because there's no other way I would have acquired it. I learned this from the world. It was here before me.
Yeah, that might be true, but it does not change the mentality of a large majority of the male population. I'm going to say that.
Okay, and you know what? I'll say that might be true.
Okay. I'm not doing this with you. I'm not doing
we
this
have a
tonight.
Lot of callers on the line. I would love to hear their take on this.
Yes.
If somebody could just raise their hand again.
Somebody did have it one up, then they put it down. But
get them off, Debo.
Nah, I want to ask Keisha a question. Seriously.
Go ahead.
If you, do you believe that a relationship is 50-50, or do you believe that one person in a relationship should hold a higher standard than the other? And I'm letting you know this is leading to something else, so
okay.
I just need to know this first.
I don't think that it should be 50-50. I think it should be 100-100 on both sides. Because, I mean, if you only get 50% of yourself, then what are you doing? I think that both of you need to give 100% of yourself to the relationship. And I don't think that one should lead the relationship. I think that you both should be equally yoked into this relationship. I don't think that the man runs the relationship or the woman should. It needs to be both of you. It needs to be a group effort, a group decision on where this relationship is headed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now that thank you. That's what I want to hear. Now let me ask you this: do you think, say, you in a relationship with a man, y'all living together, right? It's 100-100. Mm-hmm. Boom. You go in the bathroom. You go in the bathroom. You use the bathroom. No problem. Before you leave the bathroom, do you think you should lift the toilet seat up?
Oh, Lord.
For him afterward? No.
Yeah.
That ain't even nothing
God.
That I would instinctively do. No, I would just, no.
See, that's the shit I'm talking about right there. See what I'm saying? That's what I'm
it's
talking
not that
about
I
right there.
It's just something that I never even thought of to do.
Okay, now say he just suggested it. Would you be like, you crazy? That sound crazy.
No, if he said, hey, babe, when you leave out the bathroom, can you sort of lift the top up for me? I'd be like, it's weird, but all right, whatever. And
I
do it.
See, that's what I'm talking about, y'all. You're going to make somebody a happy person and a good wife for real, because these women said I was crazy for that.
Aaron, knock it off. We
that's
just
why
said
I
it
had to
that
bring
serious.
It up.
We just said it ain't that serious. You want us to put it up. We want y'all to put it down. I think whatever works at your house. It doesn't
right,
matter.
We got a live caller. We got a live caller. 786-262. Good evening. You are live with the Right and Royalty crew and Keisha Irwin. Who are we speaking with?
This is Iona.
Iona,
hi.
How you doing?
Hello. Oh, doing awesome. It's an honor to be here with Writing Royalty. Such an honor.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for tuning in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. I want to say this, and I know the lady's probably going to be feeling upset, but I got to be on Aaron's side, because one of the things that, you know, that people don't want to look at is that society, especially when you start little, they kind of mold you into thinking, oh, the man's got to be on top, the woman's got to be the slave. But they don't want to understand it doesn't have to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And what mm-hmm. the problem is that they got to understand it should be a two-way street. If the man is going to be there for the woman should be there for the man. So, therefore, it just needs to be a team effort. Don't just always put one level, one thing on one person, one on the other, because say the man falls down. Doesn't the woman need to be successful to be there for the man, to be on
mm-hmm.
top?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And if the woman falls down, doesn't daddy need to be there to change that diaper, feed that baby? May not be able to breastfeed, but still needs to be able to do those things like mommy does.
Uh-huh, uh-huh,
uh-huh. And so what I wanted to know is that, say, like Aaron was saying, you know, if he does something he wants the woman to be able to be there and stand up strong. Now, Keisha, what I want to ask you is that, you know, you say you want that man to respect you and to be there. But my question is, there are so many women out there that are not respecting men. There are so many times I have gone out there, oh, I want you to respect me. But then as soon as a man may try and just say, excuse me, what you want? What the hell you want? It's like, damn, won't you even give him a chance to breathe and say hello?
Mm-hmm.
And I just, mm-hmm. I ask you, it's like, again, to start to really get something, don't you need to start and mold at the beginning instead of letting society say, oh, the man must be at the top, the woman must be at the bottom, and it must stay that way?
Mm.
I'm a little bit confused by the question. Can you say it again?
Well, I want to know is that, you know, how society has it today where the man must be at the top, the woman must be at the bottom, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't we start at the bottom so that it can be a team effort? Because society right now has it so much where it's already molded this way. In order for it to be a team effort so it can be leveled, shouldn't we have it where it's molded from the very beginning that it's a team effort?
Oh, yes. But like I said, different things work for different people. You know, some women like to be all the way subservient and let the man rule, and what he says is how things should go. Some men like for women to take control and be the head of the household. It all depends on what works for you and what works for your relationship. I know for myself, what I want for myself is to meet somebody and we can be on the same playing field with one another when it comes to spirituality, when it comes to finances, when it comes to the way that we think, the way that we behave, our morals, those type of things. I want to be on the same playing field with the person that I'm dating. I don't want to be underneath or above or anything like that. I just want us to be on the same level. We understand each other. We vibing with one another.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And ladies, I have a question for you because I've actually been on the streets and, I ask different questions to hear the vibe. Ladies, would you all mind being, I guess, so to speak, maybe the head honcho, so to speak? The man will be at home. The man basically will be, how do you say it, the family man, I guess, so to speak. He'd be the one being the chef at the home, doing the cleaning, doing what they say the woman should do, and you'd be the one being that entrepreneur in the house. How would you feel that if the roles were switched?
I don't mind it being switched. I've had it switched plenty of times throughout the course of my marriage. I was married for 20 years, and we just tag teamed, you know what I'm saying? When I had the baby, I was home. He mm-hmm. wanted me home with her. And when she was three and able to go to school, I was like, okay, I'm out. And I went back out and I started, you know, doing my thing that I'm used to doing, running businesses and things like that. I'm blessed to have a good support system in place. But, hey, my job is hard. So if he wanted, to be at home and have something that was from home, he still have to earn. He can't just sit at home. He still got to earn because even when I was home, I earned. But, yeah, sure, why not? I don't find a problem with that at all.
Yeah.
But you got to earn. You got to earn. You got to find your
family.
No, but see,
there you go. That's what I'm talking about. Because, like I say, I mean, there was a time.
She the castle in the family like y'all. He's got to go.
He's not earning anymore.
He's not earning anymore. Take him for a ride.
He's not earning. But, I mean, I expect from him what he would expect from me. Even, like I said, even though I was at-home mom, I didn't stop earning. I didn't stop bringing in my share. You know, I just found something else to do from home. So I don't like to have to explain to nobody when I want to go buy shoes or, you know what I'm saying, I brought an extra something or whatever the case may be. I like to have my own grind. I like to have my own money, and I like to be in control of it. And that's just me. As long as all the bills and stuff is paid, I'm good. But you got to earn.
I think that's it right there. I think that is the answer to the question. Because realistically, I believe that women have been and are running the workforce anyway in America. They have been for like at least the last 40 years. So I think in a lot of different circumstances that'd be the case anyway. Because women are, if they're earning, they're definitely more spirited with money to look like they be spending and spending and spending. A lot of women are very good with money. They know how to put, like, the women on the stock market, the ladies that play the stock market, make way better investment decisions and money than the men stockbrokers. Like, this is actual fact. Like, women are definitely better thinkers and all that. So I think that already is the case. I think what the problem is women are upset about this because it's like the profile, like you're saying, the profile of America, American society, is the man is the provider. That's the image. So when the woman is the provider and she has to open up her wallet, at some point she's like, yeah. Is this a man here? Are we in America anymore? You know what I mean? That's what I think is really going on.
Yeah,
like, for real.
I agree. Cause you got so many women. You got so many women out there. They'll be working, and I've seen it. I mean, I'll admit the bus is my limo service because of my health. I have to catch the bus, and I literally sit and I listen to females. However they get their finances, I don't know. Awesome hairdos, awesome clothes. Oh, my man, he ain't even spending the money yet. They got them $2,000 shoes, that overgrown type hairstyle. They're getting money, but they want money spent on them. And I'm like, shouldn't you be spending on your man to show him just how much you appreciate him?
Hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I have no problem with that. I love to buy my baby gifts. I like to see this look on his face and the reward I get after that. But that's neither here nor there. But what I'm saying is, yes, like Keisha said, 100% on both ends of the spectrum. You know what I'm saying? And if somebody is falling short in their duty or not even their duty, falling short in their achievements, you know, for a period of time, and you in love and y'all building and growing, you have a family. I ain't talking about just some random dude just because he stopped by twice a week and knock you down. You gonna spend all your earnings on him? No, that's foolishness. You know what I'm saying? That right there is for kicks and fun. That ain't for foundation. But if you in a relationship with somebody, y'all married, y'all building, y'all growing, and one person falls short, you know, for a period of time, then that's the other person's job. You know what I'm saying? That's their duty. You know, however, you know, you want to be in a relationship with a man that you know can help you, can take care of you, can help provide for you and your children. Things aren't getting any cheaper. They're only getting more expensive. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, but if I can make
leave
the most.
Leave it to a woman to know what the receipt's going to say. Nah, go ahead.
I'm just saying, if I make the most of my rich, then you good. Then we both good. We both situated. But, yeah, of course. Yeah.
I agree, Iona. Hi, this is Tony. We've been back and forth today, so I'm glad you're tuning into the show. But I agree with Nene. You know, if I've never been placed in that position, so I can only say what I would hope I would do. I have no problem going to work every day, bringing in the cheese, bring home the bacon. And as long as, like you said, he's home maintaining and able to contribute to it, hey, we're in this together.
That's
right. 100%.
Oh, Lord, please, I'm praying Mr. Doe got another escrow account tucked away somewhere. Tony said, I'm hoping what I would do. I'm hoping. I would like to say, after 20-something years, I would love to say that I would go ahead and be cool with that for that.
Hey, and see, that's why you got sisters. That's why you have sisters like that need to be labeled as professors, and they need to get out there and they need to teach some of these sisters and brothers. Don't get me wrong, the sisters and brothers, how they need to be, because so many of them got it branded in their head. Oh, this is how it need to be. And you got sisters and brothers that are on this radio show like this that need to go in school. Huh?
We gotta break it all down for them. Yeah, but we thank you for calling. We appreciate that. Did you have any other questions for Keisha or any other guests in the host?
No, that'll be all. Again, I thank you all so much, and just keep up the awesome work that you do.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, right.
We got another caller.
Okay.
Yes, 248. You are live with the Right and Royalty crew. Good evening. Keisha Irwin is live with us.
What's going on, y'all? Hey, Felicia.
I knew you wasn't going to stay away.
What's going on? Hey, Keisha, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. don't know. Y'all know I have to come on home and I have to call in.
Leisha's on radio punishment right now. She can't be on live. She's probably in the closet sneaking and calling us because they got her on radio restriction at her house. She graduated this week. They wanted her to just spend time with the family, but she couldn't stay away from you, Keisha. She had to get on here. Go ahead, Miss
Leisha. Congratulations, too. Thank you
yes,
so much.
Congratulations.
Thank you. This is the thing. A lot of times, and this is kind of experience, a lot of times people don't know how to be in a relationship. They replicate what they have learned, whether they learned it as children or they learned it down the line by whoever they dated or people around them. But to actually be in a healthy relationship, people don't know. They don't know what to do. So when I got married, I was very independent. I was, you know, before I got married, I was like, well, I ain't getting married if he can't do what I do times 25, because I do everything, you know. And so when I got that, it was like, well, you know, it was kind of we bumped heads a lot because I was too independent, and I didn't know how to allow somebody to leave because that's not something that I was really ever taught. Because my mother was a single mother, so there was something I didn't know how to do. So it just so happened I got laid off of work, which turned out to be a blessing because I had to learn how to play my role. I had to learn how to play my position and walk, you know, side by side, be independent, and know when to fall back. And a lot of times we don't know how to do that. It's very difficult, especially when you come from being a single mother, and then you like, hold on, you know, we have to learn how to compromise. A lot of stuff you have to really learn once you get it. You can't just keep the same mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think, too, honestly, that a lot of old school wisdom and traditions are not being passed along anymore. You know what I mean? Like with some of the things that's going on, like my sisters and all that, like they already knew not to go nowhere without nobody, without their own way back and all that. That's already mapped out before they even agree to go. Like soon as they hear what they talking about, they going, they're like, all right, boom, this is how I'm going, this is how I'm getting back, not depending on nobody. Like, those were just lessons that was taught from people just getting, probably my aunt or somebody getting left. My mom's or somebody getting left. Like, yo, I went to the wrong place and this happened to me. I think that's missing. No one's passing down those jewels anymore.
Uh-huh.
No one's there, you know, saying, hey, listen, do this. You know, the morals is more what I'm getting at. Forget the jewels, the morals are slipping away.
Definitely. I agree with that, Aaron, because when me and my girlfriends became 16, 17, and we were sneaking, you know, into the clubs and the bars and different things like that, and my mom found out about it, she used to party a lot in New York and different things like that. She acted and she sang, so she used to be around a lot of people. But anyway, her first thing was, okay, y'all going out, let me go out with y'all. And she took us out to a few different places, and she said, you know, she was doing it to teach us how to conduct ourselves in the public and when we out, you know, giving us different things. You don't leave your drink. You don't do this. Y'all stay together. You know what I'm saying? Y'all all come together. You all leave together. You know what I'm saying? Try to stay away from conflict. You know, you don't want to be out, you know, in no bar acting crazy. You know, you're a lady. You know, always conduct yourself like a lady. You know, and those were the different things that she would pass on to me and my friends. So then she said she felt more comfortable when we would go out alone because she had took us out a few times and had prepared us on how to act, how to conduct yourself, you know what I'm saying? And it worked and it helped. You know, a lot of my friends would come to her for advice and talk to her and, you know, get different things that maybe they couldn't talk to their parents about. But it was a passing on, you know, of tradition and of some type of culture. Like, okay, well, this is what you're doing. I can't stop you from doing it. But let me try to tell you what's right and what's wrong. And I think that is missing in society, even with, you know, the love aspect. A lot of women don't really know what they should be asking for.
You know what I'm saying? What they should be expecting. Like we talked about, society say, okay, you need this, that, and the third thing. But they don't really understand what it is that they should be asking for in a relationship. And then when they figure it out, they've already let so many things pass or slide that, okay, now this is what I want. Okay, well, we've been together 4 or 5 years, and you ain't never wanted that before, but you want that today. You know, you done already let the relationship go sideways. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you, like, for real. Like, yeah, like, you don't even eat eggs.
Now you making omelets? Like, why are you making omelets?
You making omelets now? What are you making breakfast for? Like,
some other man like omelets? Because you ain't never made an egg in this house. But you want an egg the whole time. Go ahead.
You know what it is? A lot of times,
and
I'm going to say men and women, they don't know what they want. You know what I'm saying? They say, oh, I want this and oh, I want that, but they really don't know what they want. And when you get in the position and you start learning what you want, what you don't want, what you like and what you don't like, you have to learn how to be a certain way. And so a lot of times that's like a learning process. Once they, you know, he or she, they start doing things differently because they know some of what they want. They may not know everything, but they know I want things to be this, that, and the other. So in order for me to do that, I got to do this, that, and the other. So they start changing up. But a lot of times when they first get into a relationship, they might be on the same page. But as people evolve, if they are not on the same page, they fall apart. Because one person wants one thing and the other person was like, well, shit, I'm sorry, y'all. I ain't get with you for all of that. You want me to do the line, too? I wasn't doing the line when we got together. That's just not what I'm trying to do. What you want me to cook? I don't cook every day. That is not what I do. You ain't get with me for my cooking.
But it's not too many restaurant trips.
Lord have mercy.
Right.
How you feel about that, Keisha? How you feel about that?
About what she said about people don't know what they want when they get in a relationship? I think, I know, like, when I was in my 20s, I didn't really know what I wanted in a relationship. I thought I did, like she said. I think the older you get, the more you become aware of who you are and what you want in a relationship. I think that statement applies for, like I said, people that are younger, that are, you know, out here living, thinking they grown, thinking they know what it is to be in a relationship and really don't know what it means. And then that still does apply for some people that are older. but I think, like, I'm 32 now. I'm going to be 33 and August, and I think that the older that I'm getting, the more I'm becoming self in myself, and the most I've been through so much that I've, you know, realized what it is that I want in a mate. So I know that the things that I'm looking for now are not things that I was looking for in my 20s. In my 20s, he just had to be fine. You know, can he dress? He got a car, he got a nice car, he got some paper. Now, that's the least of my worries now. So I think that statement applies to people that just don't know no better.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. Wow. Go ahead, Aaron.
I mean, that happens sometimes with people being in a relationship and they keep walking around bitter about what already happened instead of just taking the lesson and moving on. When it's over, it's
over. If they ever really get the lesson. I mean, I think that's where that love and war, again, we talked about, really comes into play. You know what I'm saying? You're at war constantly with yourself, with your thoughts, with your emotions, with your wants, with your dislikes. You know, you're at war with those things all the time, within yourself. You know what I'm saying? On a daily basis, you know, you be in your own head, warring with your own personal things. And then you have another person's personality, spirit, emotions, energy all up in your face while you're still learning and growing. And, you know, sometimes you will let that love overshadow some of their imperfections and their faults so that you can maintain a relationship. A lot of people can't be without a relationship. You know, they just can't. They are serial relationship people. Like, they go from one relationship to the next relationship.
you can never not be in a relationship, no matter what kind of relationship it is, volatile, beautiful, it don't matter. They don't never take time to breathe.
Never single.
And yeah, they're
their
never single. Like,
their relationship status is never single.
No, it's like they're like a serial dater, you know.
Yep.
And they look for these long-term
relationships.
Yeah,
like,
and they stay in them.
I'm about to break up with this person right here, so let me go ahead and get set and get somebody else to play.
Yeah. It's like that. And when, I think that if when you go from one relationship to the next, you never really get an opportunity to reflect on what made the thing not work, the other thing not work in the first place. You know what I'm saying? It's like you go from one energy to the next energy, and before you know it, you got like 10 crazy people living inside of you. Like, everybody done left their bags behind. And, you know, you sit here wondering why you can't get along with this new person who has none of their problems or issues, but the stuff that went wrong with them, you never took a chance to resolve it or fix it. How you feel about that, Keisha?
I think that pretty much like the same thing I just said before. I just think that you have to really understand who you are as a person and really what it is that you want. I mean, like I said, now and with the person that I am now, what matters to me most in a relationship is, does he have a relationship with God? Does he know how to pray? Is he responsible? Is he loyal? Is he make sure this nigga ain't abusive? Because a lot of these got a slap a bitch in his eye, and I don't want none of that. Like, you just, first, and if you don't love my son, you know, because a lot of men, when you have children, that's another thing that people need to talk about, is a lot of women date, or and even not even just women, men, it goes vice versa, that, okay, you're dating me, but what about my son? A lot of people don't even take the time out to really get to know the person's child. You would be dating a man for 6-7 months, and all he said every time he comes to your house is, hey, to the child, what's up? And he's dating you. He hasn't even tried to get to know your child. So I want somebody that wants to get to know my son, wants to be, you know, wants to build a relationship with him. So I think that you have to, the older you get, the more that you realize that it's more about what's on the outside but what's on the inside of a person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with that.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's, for real, you got to know yourself, y'all. Like, in anything in life, like not even just with relationships, just generally in life, you have to know yourself. There's so many people walking around in a distant relationship with themselves and don't even know it. Like, you got to know yourself. Like, you got to definitely be well aware of what you're about. You know what I mean? And I think that'd be a lot of problems, too, where people don't really know who they are. So they can't offer you the best of them. They can't offer you none of them because they don't even know who they are.
Exactly. That falls into a lot of, when you don't know who you are as a person or as a man or as a woman, then you end up falling okey-doke for the okey-doke that anybody gives you. You just willn't accept anything and then wonder why your feelings is always hurt.
That's true.
Why you always at your girlfriend's house with your head in the gin bottle with tears flowing, right? Like, Lord have mercy.
Yo, y'all gonna stay off me because I see Keisha making sure now every time she say so. She like men and women. Go ahead, Keisha.
No, but that's real.
Keisha,
I mean,
you
I'm,
can go
I'm
ahead. Kick a man's ass on the show
it's
tonight.
It's not just about these dudes out here. Men can only do what you allow them to do to you.
Yeah.
So a lot of women are always saying, he did this to me. It's not about this nigga. It's about you. It's about you did this to you. He didn't do this to you. You allowed him to do that. So you got to blame yourself. And a lot of women always blaming the dude for how she's feeling. No, you blame yourself for how you're feeling because you the dummy that allowed this mess.
You know what? Oh. That needs to go. That needs to go in your next movie. But you need to be holding one of your girlfriend's heads while she's crying. And you need to, for real, like, you need to be thinking. You need to be sitting there listening while she's telling you about this nigga that's been doing it wrong, and then your voice popping in your head, you just shake your head like, this bitch is stupid. This nigga ain't stole your car, girl.
Yeah.
You got a key to your shit. Everybody know that. He came up to your job and took it like he always did.
That's real talk. But that, I mean, that's one of the things that I said on the movie after I, if you watched it, you saw what I went through with one of the people that I was talking to recently. And at the end of the show, you saw me sitting down talking to one of my guy friends, and I was saying to him, okay, now it's time for me to reevaluate me because there's obviously something wrong with me. I'm doing this. It ain't about him. I did this to me.
Uh-huh.
So I just couldn't even blame him for some of the things that went on between us. I had to look at myself and say, okay, Keith, let me check you right about now because you saw some signs in this nigga from the beginning. You saw that this he wasn't the one from day four. He revealed himself to you and you stuck around. So you can't blame him. Blame yourself.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah, you got to own your part. I think everybody has to own their part. And I think that that also is another breakdown. People don't want to own their part. And, you know, like we had the conversation with the author wives, you know, Aaron was making sure he brought up, like, you know, what part did you play? You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, yeah, he did do X, Y, Z, but did you miss the signs? Did you ignore the signs? You know what I'm saying? You're saying everything else is so lovely, it's so wonderful, it felt so good to you, it was so everything that you ever wanted and needed and thought you, you know, could have in a relationship, did you ignore the signs? You know, what part did you play?
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people for that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Or the mother.
Yeah.
I tell people this all the time as far as the love and relationship things. I think that people look at the word love. I tell people this all the time. They look at the word love and they immediately associate it with something good. But all love ain't good, man. Just because it's bad, it don't mean that it's not love. It's just not a love that you would accept. So,
yeah.
Like, love is not defined by good or bad. Love is love. And I think that's what be happening, too. Like, people be trying to look at something and be like, oh, that ain't love, or this ain't love. Like, all right. I mean, love ain't got no relationship, so you got to be looking like, you know what, this is not the love for me. You got to be able to recognize it when it's bad. And that's what people
uh-huh.
don't be doing. Like, yo, you know
uh-huh.
what, this is not the love for me. and we go right in reverse, but people don't be doing that. Because they'd be like, yo, it's love, so it has to be good. It's supposed to be good. I got to make this work.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You be like, you have to. Like, it's like you better make it work or else. So let me ask you this, teacher, since we're talking about that, wife or wifey, we've had this topic plenty a couple of times on the show, you know,
ooh.
That wife or wifey title. How you feel about those titles, those two titles? What's the difference and how you feel about them?
I didn't know there was a difference. I thought it was. I mean, are you referring to wife and like? When you're married to a person or what, and they call you wife or wifey, or you just, or you talking about an actual married woman versus a girlfriend that's being called wifey?
Exactly. What you said last.
Okay, the second part. Oh, well, no, you're not going to call me your wifey and I'm just your girlfriend. Nigga, I'm your girlfriend. I'm not your wife. And I don't think I owe you wifely duties. I owe you girlfriend duties. That's the big difference. I'm not going to be doing the stuff that a wife has done. Now, I did that for 5.5 years, playing wife to some Negro, and you see I'm on this phone with you right about now talking about how I'm single. No. I think a lot of women nowadays are giving these niggas too much, too soon, and then wonder why they ain't getting no ring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be cooking and cleaning for you, washing your clothes, sucking your pain, rubbing your feet. I'm not going to be doing all of that, and I'm just your girlfriend. Nah, bro.
Hmm.
I'm your girl. That's your friend. That's exactly what
oh,
I am.
Damn. You know
she is not playing.
Dude, she hit you with the nah, bro, on the end, so you already know who you are. Like, nah, bro.
That's a period. That's a period right there, nah,
yeah.
bro. That's a big
yeah.
exclamation point.
The bro put you right in your place, like, oh, shit. Like, yeah,
I mean, I'm being dead serious, though, because I had to look
mm-hmm.
at myself and wonder, okay, I'm asking this man, when you going to propose to me? Well, why would he propose to me? We live together. I'm giving him everything that a wife would do and that does. So why is he in a rush to wife me?
Mm-hmm.
He already technically has.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not before God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I messed that up. And a lot of, I know so many girls and women that have been 10-year relationships, 6-7 year relationships with dudes and looking for a ring or even got the ring and still wondering why we ain't got married yet. It ain't no rush. You already gave them everything. I made a vow to myself, I ain't moving in with no other man until I'm married. Never again will I do that.
I agree. I mean, you are absolutely correct. And I think that and a lot of times in a woman's psyche, she feels like, you know, those are the things that's expected or those are the things you're supposed to do in order to, you know, get the ring or, you know, to be the wife. You know, and then it happens in an opposite effect.
Let me ask you, Keisha, does that extend your time period, your time frame now on the commitment part? Because now
I'm not giving nobody else my good years. He already got half of my good ones. I'm not about to give you the last of them. I'm reaching that 40-year-old arc soon. You're not going to get my cute years while I'm out here tying it up in these streets. Nah, bro, you're not about to do that to me. I'm too hot. I'm too cute. If you're going to wife me up, you better do it now. Because, no, sir, I'm not going to be in another 5-year relationship. Someone, you're going to marry me. You know if you're going to marry a person. You know. Just like you know when you're going to have sex with somebody. You know when you're going to have a dude knock you down. And you know when you're going to wife this chick. So if you don't know after 2 years that I'm your wife, then let's part ways now. Let's not even waste each other's time. No, let's not do that. I'm not in my figures anymore.
The two-year thing.
Yeah.
See, that's Alicia.
I think that, especially at this day and age, it's not like we're in our 20s. It's not like we're trying to find ourselves. If I'm dating somebody that's in my 30s along with me, then what the hell are we waiting for 5 years for to talk about getting married? You know what you want. I know what I want. If we want the same thing, let's go ahead and do it. And get married like everybody else, and it's normal. Like my girlfriend just got married Friday. Her and her guy have only been together a year. They ain't waste no time. What more time do you need to figure out if this is the one for you?
Especially like he said, when you
fall. No time.
Lord have mercy. Aaron, bring in some of those callers. We got 757. Put their hand up. Could you get some of those callers in?
Yes, I see 757. She about to go in. Good evening, 757. You are live with the Writing Royalty Crew and Keisha Irwin. Who are we speaking with?
My name is Natalia. How are you?
Hi.
Oh, how are you?
Hi.
I'm well. Hi, Keisha. You're still my favorite author. Oh, my God. Anyways,
hi.
I don't want to get into a groupie mode, so I'm just saying, because I called earlier, but I had to hang up. You spoke about something I'm firmly believing about being equally yoked with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't believe that. They said, like, you know, if you have a couple of things in common, that's cool. But you have to be able to get on your knees and go into your prayer closet and be able to pray favor over each other. Not just over him and him praying over you. You need to be able to pray over each other and for your home and for whatever values y'all want and for whatever y'all want to come of this marriage. I'm 34 years old. I'm not dating nobody 6 years for you to be like, well, you know what? I thought I'm wanting to marry you, but, you know, this ain't what I really want. No.
Exactly.
You waste my time. Time is short.
Mm-hmm.
I might look young, but I know I'm in my mid-30s, and it's getting real out here.
Mm-hmm.
One of my homeboys told me, he's like,
man.
What you say?
Right. One of your homeboys did what?
One of my homeboys was talking to me that he was like, for real, he said, my daddy told me if a woman get up to a certain age and they ain't married yet, something wrong with them. And I felt some type of way about that. I was like, well, what you trying to say? he was like, it might be you. I said, but you know what it might be.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't have no problem admitting it might be me because I got an attitude problem. But at the same time, I'm the sweetest, most kindest person you will ever meet in your life, and I will give you my last. But don't take my kindness for weakness.
Well, you know what you should have said to him,
because I don't like that little comment that your homeboy made. First of all, you check your homeboy and let him know, no, it might not be me. How about I'm just not willing to accept this any bullshit-ass relationship. Half of them can be married and be in a committed relationship. We chose to just deal with anything.
Yeah,
keep it all the way 100. A lot of like,
look, you ain't like, you wasn't like that though, huh, Keisha? You wasn't
like
that one, though, huh,
Keisha? Dudes be like, why you ain't got no man? What's wrong with you? How about what's wrong with you, nigga? You single too. What's going on here? I mean, like, at the end of the day, a lot of women can be in a relationship if they chose just to deal with anything. There's a lot of women out here that got standards and morals and just don't want to put up with no old anything just to say that I got somebody. I don't want to be laying in the bed with somebody just saying I got somebody and over her.
Exactly. And then you can be in a relationship and still be alone.
Exactly.
Relationship don't necessarily make you be with somebody. Like, I was just dealing with somebody, and I already saw the writing was on the wall that it wasn't going to work, because every time I turn around, they throwing their ex-girlfriend in my face and what they ex doing for them. But I'm putting food in your house. I'm cooking. I'm cleaning. I'm doing all this for you, but you about to throw this bitch that in my face all the time. You got it. Deuces. You ain't got to worry about me no more. Guess how much my phone ring now about, oh, I miss you. Why you ain't going to come over here? You need to come over here and hang out. I'm good. I don't need to come over there and do nothing. Call that bitch that's snoring in the bed now. Call her to tell her to come hang out with you. Y'all such good friends. That's who you want. You got her. So call her. Don't call my phone no more.
I know that's right.
Because you ain't going to keep making me feel like I'm not good enough. You're not going to keep making me feel like I'm not good enough. And I told them that. No, you got to boo back. And then you proceed to tell me how you want to hunt me and do this with me. No.
Oh.
Call her up. Why are you on my line? I said, bitch, I put on Facebook the other day. I said, I turned your bae down. Thank me later. These hoes need to be appreciative of me telling they niggas and they bitches, no, I'm good. I don't get no thank you,
and the
nothing.
Yes. Listen, we appreciate you calling in, Italia, for real. You've been live, but we got to move on to the next caller, for real. We love you, man.
It was so
nice
to
see
you, Natalia.
Yes.
Thank you for your support. I love you.
I
yes,
love you, too. And I'm about to download Material Girl and Cashmere Mafia and Autumn Story from the Circle when they come out, too.
Thank
all
you.
All right. Thank you.
Make
yeah.
sure
so
you leave her a review so she can see how you feel.
Yes,
yeah, the circle
review.
Joint is the circle joint is out already. Make sure you grab that.
Oh yeah, because I like Ashley Antoinette anyway. I like all their books. I read all the Prada Plans and the Cartel. I'm waiting for Fad to come out in November. I'm a reader before I'm anything else. So
all right,
I was a fan before the YouTube page. I've been a fan since China Black and Torn and Me and My Boyfriend and all of that. Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
That's what's up.
That's what's up.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
All right. Take 678.
Good evening.
Hey,
you're live
you
with the writing book.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hi. It's Brandy.
Oh,
okay.
Hey, Brandy.
What up, Brandy? How you?
Hey, Aaron. Hey, Nene. Hey, Keisha.
Hi. How are you?
Fine. I'm like a major fan. I've been a fan too since China Black and Me and My Boyfriend. I remember telling people, oh my God, if this cartoon was a human, I would date him because he was just so fun.
Thank you
no,
so much.
But my question is, because you always give like great relationship advice, I even submitted questions to your YouTube channel, but my question is this. I'm 23 years old, and I do believe I age well beyond most girls that are 23 years old. I'm wise. I have older parents. Like, my mom is gonna be 65. I have old parents. So I know what I want out of my life. Like, I'm planning now. And I'm talking to somebody who is 29, and it seems as though we are going nowhere fast. He don't want to get married. He's not trying to do nothing. Like, it just seems like every time I talk to him, like, what's your future goals? He says, well, I want this. But it's like he's not taking the proper steps to get that, whereas I am. I'm in school trying to get my degree. My question is, what did I do with, like, what should I do? You're 29 and I'm 23, and, like, I'm well beyond my years, and I can't really find nobody, honestly, that's in my age bracket, that's on my level. So, like, what should I do with him?
You just answered your own question. When a person tells you who they are, believe them. He's told you, I don't want to be married. I don't want to do this. I do his actions, he's showing you he's not trying to make this goal, do this. he's telling you and showing you exactly who he is as a person. So you're wasting your own time. You really are wasting your own time. When he's told you everything, so believe him. Don't try to change him because you're not. It's just like you tell me right about now I don't like spaghetti, and I'm sitting up here trying to eat you, make you eat spaghetti, and you look at me like I just told you I don't like spaghetti, then why am I steady trying to force me to do spaghetti? Leave this man alone. You are wasting your time.
I knew Keisha was going to tell you to shelf that, nigga.
Yeah, I mean,
shut up.
Would you tell her
anything? I knew she was going to tell you that. She is. I said she ain't gonna tell her, well, look, y'all still young, you know. He's still young,
not
too.
That young. He's gonna be 30 years old.
I swear to God.
You
look up, in 2 minutes, you'll be 30.
Nah,
yeah,
but,
he already know what he on and what he want. I know you would not tell this young lady to stick with this dude. No way.
I wouldn't tell her that. But I do want to ask her, because I got married young. I got married at 22. And you're 23. Do you really feel? I understand as far as what you're saying as far as your intellect and that you're, you know, well above your years of intellect within your peer group and age group and whatever. But do you really feel like you? I mean, do you want to get married at 23? Like,
well, I was engaged. So I was engaged when I was 18. And if that would have panned out, believe you me, I would have still been married. I'm a strong believer in it. Like, the idea of marriage to me is a beautiful thing. And if you could stick it out, right, wrong, or indifferent, that's even more beautiful. Like, you give it your all. And if you've given it your all and it's still not working, then clearly it's not meant for you. But what I'm saying is, that's a sign to me. He don't even want to commit, but still it's like, oh, God, I'm trying to give you the benefit of the doubt, but you
What benefit of the doubt are you giving him, though? He just told you, I don't want to commit to you. What are you
that's
trying to
true.
Make yourself believe? You living in
that
your own
so
fantasy world right about now. You know how I am on that.
Yeah, just go ahead. Go on his page and tag Keisha. Be like, Keisha Irwin said, you done, dude.
I have one more question before we disconnect, because I don't want to take up all the callers' times. But Keisha, please, when is Me and My Boyfriend Part 2 coming back? I've been waiting day one.
I'll be honest with you, I don't have any plans for it soon. I got to be feeling it in order to write it. So whenever it happens, it's going to happen, but I can't give you no date because right now my mind frame ain't even on Misa and Black right about now. But it'll happen one day. But,
thank you. I love
you. Leave him alone. Please leave him alone. You date yourself. Be 23 and enjoy life, and if that guy comes along, great. But don't be out here looking for no long-term committed relationship. Your 20s is meant for discovering who you are, having fun, dating, just living life. Trust
yes,
me.
Yes, indeed.
You're my age, you're going to be wishing for them days back. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I agree. I think you should definitely, you know, I ain't talking about, dude, I'm just talking about, you know, just live throughout your 20s, man, and have your fun and, you know, discover yourself, man, in the world. Man, the world's a huge place, man. You know what I mean? Just...
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Travel, man. Like,
yeah, go
for real.
Move
like,
around.
Travel the world. Do whatever you want to do. This is the time to do it. Don't be sitting up here trying to get married and wiped up. You got all your life to do that.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, baby
all right.
girl.
Stay blessed. Thank you for calling in.
Bye.
Bye, baby. Goodbye. Have a good
618. Good evening. You are live with the Writing Royalty crew and Keisha Irwin. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, how y'all doing? This is Jal.
Oh, hey,
Hello. How
are
you doing?
Hey, how are you? Hey, Nene. Hey, Tony. I mean, hey, Nene. Hey, Tony. Hey, Keisha Aaron.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Calling in just listening. Letting Keisha know that I enjoy everything she do. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
I enjoyed meeting her that day at the Taste of St. Louis Black Arts Showcase. So just keep what you're doing.
Great.
Keep going. Yeah, keep doing what you're doing. I enjoy reading your work, and that's all I want.
Oh, thank you so much, and it was nice meeting you, too.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you for calling in, sharing your time.
That's no problem.
Have a good one, guys.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
That's a loyal reader. Giles is such a loyal reader.
Yes, indeed.
Yep.
570-540. Good evening. You are live with the Right and Royalty Crew and Keisha Irwin. Who are we speaking with?
Hello, this is Keisha.
Hey, Keisha.
What's going on, Keisha?
Nothing much. I'm just calling to say I'm enjoying the show. I don't have any questions. I'm just having a good
what?
Time with.
Not
I
you.
Don't. No.
Yeah, I thought she was about to go in.
Go on, go. No, because I came in late, so I really don't. I didn't really hear everything. So hey.
Okay.
Everybody was acting up.
I got off the hook with the toilet seat thing again. Then, and I'm good.
You did the toilet seat? Oh my god.
You know, bring that up at every show. Anybody gets on here, any woman is going to hear about his policy epidemic.
But I see, you got
real.
Keisha on the phone. No, Keisha's come hard, so she handle it.
Nancy she handle it? Yes.
Not Keisha's today. Keisha's good.
Yeah, she slam dunk. She slam dunking dudes, man. Spalding ain't got a chance. It's over with.
Shut up. Thanks, Keisha, for always supporting. We love you.
Yes.
Thanks, Keisha.
Wow, that was great. This show is awesome. I'm hearing the different sides and everybody's opinion and how they feel. And it's good to see that, you know, young girls are looking up to you, Keisha, and you having an opportunity to tell them about your journey and, you know, your trials and your triumphs. That's even more awesome. We're going to make sure that we blast this show as well so that, you know, whoever missed it can, you know, hear it. If you missed the beginning portion of the show, please go back to the archive and tune in to them so that you can hear the amazing journey that Ms. Irwin has been on for the last, what you say, 11 years?
Yeah.
With the bumps and the bruises and still maintaining. A good brand and a good reputation for yourself and a good quality of work.
Thank you so
much. Yeah,
good.
You's ambitious, man. Your ambition is crazy, for real. You nonstop.
Thank you. I love that. Thank you, and I want to say
love
what you all are doing. I didn't even know about this show until I was asked to do it this week, but I'm happy that I did, and it's something that I'll be tuning into every Sunday now because I really like what you all are doing. This is so much. I haven't had this much fun doing anything like this in a long time, and I just want to thank you all for making me feel so welcome, and just I love the topic that you all are doing. This is just a really dope show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We appreciate that. For real, what you got new coming? I know you got something in the cut. Is there anything that you could reveal that you haven't revealed already?
No, I revealed everything. Like I said, Cashmere Mafia, which is a spinoff of Material Girl 3, it'll literally be out before the month is over. Reckless 2 will be out in August. We're starting back filming Forever 21. And my clothing line is out right now. If anybody wants to go check out our items at www.prettyratchetthings.com. I guess I can reveal this. I'm working on my first EP, my first little album. So that is something I'm working on that I haven't revealed to anyone. So.
Wow.
Exclusive. Yeah. Okay.
So are you going to be singing?
So what kind of music
producing?
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah, singing. You know what? If you watch Forever 21, and that was me singing on there. So.
Okay, I got to go watch that.
Yeah.
I just learned it.
So it'll be like R&B, hip-hop type of show. It's going to be so much fun. So I'm finally getting over my fear of singing in front of folks. I'm working on that. So that's all I got coming up.
That's awesome.
That's what's up. For real, you covering everything. Like you got every field locked up, man. That's what it is, man. For real.
Yeah, you got to nowadays.
You got to, for real.
You gotta have two tricks in your hat, not just one trick. You gotta pull two rabbits out of there. They were like, okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to show other people. I mean, people have known me as the author for so many years, and I never really got to show the other facets of myself because my friends were like, girl, you got so many God-given talents that you didn't go to school for, and you just learned all these dope things. Like, you got to show people what you over here on. Like, people don't even know you can sing and that you love fashion and that you can act and all of these things. Like, show the world. And I was like, well, shit, let me do it.
Well, let me show them then.
For real. That's what's up, yo.
Exactly. And that's where your passion comes from, when you and you enjoy it, when you, like you say, doing what you enjoy, and your passion comes through it, and your fans see it and feel that. You know, just my short time talking to you this evening, I can feel the passion and the things that you enjoy doing.
Yeah.
I love it. And then I also wanted, well, my idea for Forever 21 was not only to show assets of my life, but to also give other people here in St. Louis opportunity to shine and get their music or their acting skills or their makeup line or whatever they were doing out there to the world. So a lot of people that was on the show have their own businesses that I help promote through the show, or their own their rap or sing or whatever. And then also one of my supporters on Facebook, her name was Sharon Shepherd. She had wrote this beautiful piece about my book, Finding Forever. It had inspired her to write this little beautiful little monologue. And when she sent it to me, I loved it so much that I put it on the show at the end of the show of Forever 21. So even my, you know, people that have supported me, I'm trying to include them in the show in different aspects just to show love and just thank everybody for supporting me all of these years and for standing by me when I got sick and understanding when I couldn't deliver the books anymore, and I just asked people to give me time. And so I, that's, Forever 21 was like my thank you to my supporters for all the support that they have given me over the years.
Yes, and that's a blessing.
Yes, indeed.
A blessing.
Yes, indeed.
And let me ask you this, that you can, you know, answer this for, you know, for them and for us, you know, before you leave the studio. In this 11 years, you know, going, you know, through the different trials and watching the different levels of the art change, what is the greatest lesson you have learned? What is the greatest lesson you have learned?
Ooh, I've learned so many. As far as writing is concerned, like I tell everybody that always asks me, like, how do I write a book and how do I get published or what do I have to do? As far as writing books are concerned, I always tell people to write from your heart and to learn your craft and to just learn the industry, because this industry is it's pretty tricky. There are a lot of snakes in the grass, and you really have to just be mindful of who you associate yourself with. But mostly learn the business, never sign a contract without a lawyer, never sign a lawyer contract without having a lawyer look over it. And it's, like I said, as far as writing, I never went to school for writing. This is just something that I have always been good at. So when I write from my heart. That's why I'm telling a young lady, like, it's not in me to write a sequel to Me and My Boyfriend Right About Now. It's not on my heart. It's not something that I can just fully give my all to. I have to really love the character, really love the story in order for me to write it. So to be yourself, because I don't write like other people. I have my own way of doing things, and so don't ever try to imitate anybody else. Be you.
That's right. Yep, that's awesome. Tony, do you have anything for her on her way out of the clubhouse?
I'm just going to continue to enjoy her YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got my first taste of it, so I'm still, you know, interested in seeing it to the end, and I'm enjoying it. And I thank you for
it. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Aaron?
Keisha, I definitely am glad that you joined us tonight.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, you kept it straight, a ball, a strike. And, Yeah, we love that here on this show, and we, you know, hope to bring you back again sometime.
Yes, I would
definitely
love to, like, anytime. I really enjoyed myself tonight. I had so much fun with you guys.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing, you know, your craft and your work and your spirit, you know, coming in here with all of your honesty and your true self and sharing it with our callers. The call queue was so full. Some people just was listening. They didn't even raise their hands. They just was listening throughout the whole show. So shout out to the callers. Thank you so much. Shout out to the chat room. We appreciate your support, calling in and listening to this phenomenal interview. And, yes, we will be having her back. Make sure you check the YouTube. Make sure you check down the pike. Give them a rundown one more time, Keisha, just in case they don't know what's coming and what you have, so they can get over there and get the one clicking as well.
Okay. As far as my YouTube channel is concerned, it's called Color Me Pink. That's Color Me, P-Y-N-K, Color Me Pink channel. You can watch my All Shade series, Ask Keisha Mo, Forever 21, my makeup tutorials.
You can follow me on Instagram at Keisha Irvin. The links to my books are on my Instagram page. You can follow me on Facebook at Keisha Irvin and on Twitter at Keisha Irvin. And you can check out my clothing line, Pretty Ratchet Things, at www.prettyratchetthings with a Z on the end.com. And if you want to help support the second season of Forever 21, just click on the video on YouTube, and right underneath the video in the description box is our GoFundMe account link. We need all the support that we can to bring the second season back, so we would greatly appreciate any help that anybody can give us.
All right. So y'all heard that. If you watched that first season and you're ready for that second season so that she can continue to entertain and excite and motivate you, you know, check into that channel. Make sure you show your support. And other than that, we thank everybody for coming out, and we hope that you will tune in on Wednesday. I believe we have the Kings of Lit on here on Wednesday, George Sherman Hudson, Catavius Hood, and J.M. Benjamin. So definitely tune in on Wednesday for the Kings of Lit 2014. Thank you so much, Keisha. We are here for you. If you have any authors or anything, please contact us anytime. Hit Leisha up. Let her know that you have something new coming so that we can talk about it on the radio, or we can have your people on the radio, even yourself, come back when you have something else out that you would like to promote. This is
your
house.
Thank you so much. I most certainly will. Thank you so much. And I thank you guys again, and have a great night.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
you
likewise.
Do the same.
Stay blessed.
Go ahead, Aaron, and drop that beat.
Oh, hold up. Don't leave. Oh, she done left.
Uh-huh.
See, I had her little song for her.
You had it, Aaron.
I'ma put it down, you gon' fall in love. I'ma put it down, down, you gon'
fall in love.
I'ma put it down, you gon' fall in love. I'ma put it down, down, you gon'
fall in love.
I'ma put it down, you gon' fall in love. I'ma put it down, down, you gon'
fall in love.
I'ma put it, I'ma put it, I'ma put it, I'ma put it down.
You put it down right, like the way I want it. Play it hard, maybe we can fall in love. You put it down, you put it down, you put it down. Maybe we can fall in love.
You gon' fall in love. I'ma put it down, down.
You gon' follow me.
If you put it down, maybe we can fall in love.
I'ma put it down. You gon' fall in love. I'ma put it down, down.
You gon' fall in love.
If you put it down, maybe we can fall in love.
Ooh, your talking is so tough. Damn, I love it all. Even the way you flex, that's what turns me on.
Ooh, you know you make me weak.
Just 'cause the way you are. 'Cause everybody in here knows that you're. And still I'm letting you know, I got the sweetest heart. Any man that wants this, babe,
he gon' have to work hard.
From what I see, you got what I want. That's just half the part. Gotta see what you put on it to make sure you're the one.
If you put it down right, like the way I want it. Play it hard, maybe we can fall in love. If you put it down, if you put it down, if you put it down, maybe we can fall in love.
You gon' fall in love. I'ma put it down, down.
You gon' follow me.
If you put it down, maybe we can fall in love.
I'ma put it down. You gon' fall in love. I'ma put it down, down.
You gon' fall in love.
If you put it down, maybe we can fall in love.
I hope the chivalry ain't dead to you, boy, 'cause I'm grown. Got to pull up and then come up with that when I see what I want. Gotta go old school with me, still keep it so 2012 on me, 'cause I still beef it up. And still I want you to know, got the sweetest heart. Even though he can ride it cool for me,
he gon' have to work hard.
And now I see you got what I want. That's just half the part. Gotta feel what you put on it to make sure you're the one.
If you put it down right, like the way I want it. Play it hard,
maybe we
can fall in love. If you put it down,
so baby put it down.
If you put it, maybe
we can fall in love. I'ma put it down, you gon' fall in love. I'ma put it down, down,
you gon' fall in love.